As Joe mentioned, when we walked in, my name's Mark. I am one of the ordinands here at St. Mary's. My family and I have actually been worshipping with this congregation for about 3 years, but we're normally at the 10:30 a.m. service, so it is such a privilege to be with you today to open God's Word. For the past few weeks, we've been working through the Gospel of Mark, and today our passage focuses on Jesus encountering another blind man. I say another because Jesus, as we know, has already healed a blind man at the beginning of this section in Mark 8. We are now in Mark 10, and this is the final miracle before Jesus enters Jerusalem. This is significant because our gospel writer, Mark, has created what is known as an inclusio between the two stories of the two blind men. And I would like us, if that's okay with you, to bear that in mind as we try to understand what Mark is trying to communicate through this inclusio, through this section of Scripture. And that's our main aim today. But before we do that, let me share with you a quick personal story. When I was 5 years old, and that was about 33 years ago, I was living in Hong Kong, and my father used to take me to the park on weekends. And if you've ever seen images of Hong Kong on the television, you will know what an incredibly densely crowded place Hong Kong is. On one occasion, I was standing in the park as a five-year-old when I suddenly realized I wasn't holding my father's hand anymore. I was only little. Can you imagine the panic rising up? As I looked around frantically, all I could see was crowds of legs, and I began crying out, "Daddy! Daddy!" But no one came. After a good old cry, I was most likely hyperventilating, it dawned on me to call on my father's actual name. So I started shouting instead, "Tony! Tony! Tony!" And after a while, through the crowds, my father did emerge. He scooped me up into his arms, and everything was okay. And after I stopped crying, he asked me, "Mark, why did you call my name and not call me Daddy?" And apparently, and this is how it goes, I said, "Because when I shouted Daddy, lots of daddies turned around. But when I called your name, you knew it was me, and you came." Jesus and his disciples in this passage are leaving Jericho. They are surrounded by a large crowd. And then from the floor, on the side of the road, they hear a voice calling out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." A single voice in the midst of the crowd. And as we know, this voice belongs to blind Bartimaeus. And amazingly, it is a blind man in this crowd that identifies Jesus as the true Messiah, for he says, "the Son of David," which is significant. You see, for our gospel writer, blindness is not just physical, but it is also spiritual. And as I mentioned earlier, he's created an inclusio to emphasize that true discipleship is linked to being able to see, not physically, but to see spiritually. The irony here is that it is the blind man, not the crowd of disciples even, who can actually see Jesus. Now let's see how this plays out. It says in verse 48 that after he cried out, many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But we read, he cried out all the more, "Son of David," he cries, "have mercy on me." And the first point I want to make is that Bartimaeus takes the initiative in calling out to Jesus. And it's not just initiative, but also perseverance to overcome obstacles. First, there was the impediment of blindness. Then there was a crowd that stood between him and Jesus. Further, the crowd sought to silence him. This was an insurmountable odds in some ways for a blind beggar sitting on the side of the road to overcome. But nevertheless, he still cried out. And you might be able to identify with Bartimaeus here. Perhaps there are times when you feel so overwhelmed that you feel like you can't cry out to Jesus. It may not be physical crowds preventing you, but it might be clouds of negative thoughts, perhaps guilt, maybe illness or pain that you're going through, or maybe just busyness. Healing does not always come easily for those whom Jesus heals. But as the scripture says, when Jesus calls out to him, "Take heart." Jesus responds to us when we call on his name. And maybe that's a word for you this morning. But as I mentioned before, this passage is predominantly about discipleship. And the second point I want to make is that sometimes it's our own spiritual blindness that prevents us from seeing Jesus as clearly as Bartimaeus did. It says in verse 50, "Throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus." It's a bit like when I sprung up and jumped into my father's arms. But it's a pretty strange detail to mention his cloak. Why is it included here? What is Mark doing? Well, if we think about it just for a moment, his cloak is the mantle in which he slept and which he spread on the road before him to collect alms. It was his sole possession. It was his means of livelihood. And casting it away corresponds to the other disciples leaving their boats or their careers or the tax desk. It's a significant detail. And if we jump back a few verses to chapter 10, 17:22, which we looked at a few weeks ago, it provides a dramatic contrast to the last potential recruit to the disciples. And who was that? Well, it was an admirable, respectable, and wealthy man. And yet it is blind Bartimaeus with his sight restored who ends up following Jesus, not the rich man who goes away blind. You can see what Mark is doing here with his contrasts. And this is not so much a comment or judgment on those who have plenty of material wealth. But I believe it is more a question of what do you truly want and value? What do you truly desire? In fact, as we move on in our narrative in this story, Jesus asks Bartimaeus that very question. He says, "What do you want me to do for you?" This might seem a bit dense because the plight of the man is obvious. He's blind. But remember, we're trying to work out what Mark is trying to communicate. And in the context and inclusio of all of Mark 10 and what's gone before, Bartimaeus' response provides a marked contrast. Let's quickly look at this as we close. Over the past few weeks, we've learned that the Pharisees wanted to outsmart Jesus and to trap him. That was in chapter 10, verse 2. The rich man wanted eternal security, but at minimum cost. That's what he wanted in chapter 10, verse 17. Last week, we heard that James and John wanted to be the top officials and men of influence and power in the kingdom bureaucracy. That was in chapter 10, verse 35. A blind beggar might only want money. But here, today, Bartimaeus wants to see again. This is what a true disciple of Jesus desires. This is what Mark has been building up to before Jesus goes into Jerusalem. What do you want me to do for you? Is the most important question God ever asks us. And the one in which we most frequently give the wrong answer, myself included. In closing, we see that Bartimaeus does have his sight restored. Excuse me. But we should note that there is no emphasis or description on how the miracle actually happened. If you read over that passage again, there are very few details, because this is not the focus for our gospel writer. You see, when you read this story, the miracle simply serves to cap the theme of true discipleship that Mark has been developing for us. For it says in the final verse, "And immediately he recovered his sight, and listen, and followed him on the way." That's verse 52. These words, "followed him on the way," are pregnant with the Markan understanding of discipleship, to follow on the way. And the fact that Mark records for us his name, Bartimaeus, and his father's name at the beginning, Timaeus, that suggests that Bartimaeus became a very familiar character in the discipleship group. And although we don't hear much about him later on, Bartimaeus, rather than the 12, has become the image of the true disciple, the one who wants to see Jesus. In a few weeks, Disney are releasing a new film. It is a live action adaptation of Aladdin. So no doubt some of you may be taking your grandchildren to see it, or you might be watching it yourself. But in Aladdin, the genie asks, "What can I do for you?" And perhaps when that is out in the cinemas, you might be able to reflect upon this scripture and reflect upon what a Christian response would be to that question, as opposed to the one put out by Hollywood or the world. But I leave you with this question. What is it that you want? When was the last time you called upon his name? Has your vision perhaps become impaired? Or have you perhaps become distracted in the busyness of life? If you're honest, do you find yourself identifying with maybe some of the other characters that Mark has mentioned rather than Bartimaeus? What would you like Jesus to do for you today? Amen.